Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word written, and we pray as we reflect and think about what you are teaching us and the world we live in, please help us to go as servants of the Lord Jesus into our world. We pray this for ourselves and for the good of your world, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, today is our last morning in this series of The Faith Effect, although there will be another Sunday evening, so tonight and then one more in the evening. And throughout the series, we've been thinking about issues of global poverty and social injustice and how we might respond. In week one, we thought about the nature of God's kingdom and what it means to be part of that kingdom here on earth. Then in week two, we learnt from the beginnings of the church in New Testament times right up to the present that Christians have been involved in issues to do with poverty and alleviation of need, and that that continues on right to today. And then last week we looked at three different responses to human need: emergency relief, community development, and advocacy. And we learnt that Christians are very involved in advocating for change on many issues to do with poverty and injustice. Now, through the series, my prayer for us has been that God would show each of us what to do in response. And today's sermon flows out of that prayer, because today's sermon is called What Can We Do? Now, I know there are likely to be many responses to the issues that have been raised thus far. And if this is your first Sunday here thinking about these things with us, there'll be a range of issues just emerging you today. Some of you may be full of energy and want to change the world. In fact, one Tuesday night, that was the response of a couple of people, is just tell us what to do and we'll go and do it. Some of you may still be mulling over things and not sure what to do. Some of you may feel powerless, thinking, really, what difference does my little contribution make? And despite my prayers for you, some of you still may be feeling overwhelmed, and others might be feeling uninterested, and others are just too busy with their own concerns to really engage with these big issues. And I think, to be honest, I have felt all of those responses personally over these weeks. Now, my starting point today is to remind us, particularly if you remember the readings, to remind us that we don't have to do everything, and each of us doesn't have to do the same thing. Remember, the church is not a group of individuals. It is the body of Christ, as Paul says earlier in that Romans 12 reading. And as a body, then, we can work together. Paul says in Romans 12, verse 6, which we've just heard read, that we have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. And then he gives us a list of gifts. And I think that list is illustrative, not a full list of the potential gifts. There are other gifts that are mentioned in other parts of the New Testament, for example. Now, the list includes speaking gifts like prophesying and teaching and encouraging. And then there are other more sort of active gifts or practical gifts like serving and giving and leading and showing mercy. And as each person uses their God-given gifts, not only is the church built up, not only are we built up internally inside the walls of the church, so to speak, but also we're strengthened to serve then beyond the church. As you use your gifts, it helps to serve not only the internal needs of the church, but you might be using your gifts beyond the church to reach out to those in need and to lift our voices on behalf of the poor and the powerless. So I want to say to you that you don't have to do the same thing as me, and please release me from having to do the same thing as you. The thing that you're passionate about may not be the thing I'm passionate about, so don't load me with that guilt trip. And I won't load you with a guilt trip to say you have to be passionate about the same thing I'm passionate about. Is that a deal? Now, do that for each other as well. Okay? God has made you the person you are and gifted you in certain ways, and it just might be that God will show you what to do in a way that is completely different to me or anyone else. Over the weeks of the Faith Effect seminars, we've been holding seminars on Tuesday nights, it's been very encouraging to hear what different people are doing, and we've heard from members of St. Alfred's who are working for agencies like CBM and TIER and World Vision and Oxfam. You know, those are really big organisations doing a lot of important work in these sorts of areas. But we've also heard from ordinary members of St Alfred's who are simply trying to make a difference in how they shop or who they support or what they do with their money and their time. And I know some of you have joined in a variety of responses that we've organised at a church level. Some of you have got involved in Connect 50 activities and other local mission activities as well. So right at the outset, I want to relieve you of any burden. You don't have to save the world. You probably won't succeed even if you try. You can't possibly solve all of the world's problems. So please be released from that pressure. I know some people have just felt overwhelmed in thinking about things. Please don't feel you have to solve everybody's problems. You don't have to do that. But do pray and ask God to show you what you can do with your particular gifts, with your opportunities, with your energy at your stage of life, with your training, with your passions. What is it that you can do that maybe no one else in St Alfred's can do or even anybody else in Melbourne might do? And God will show you, I'm sure, as you make yourself available. Now, one particular way I want to think about responding is about how we consume. So this heading is called Consumption and Justice. So one way we can respond is to think about what we buy and what we eat and what we drink. And some of us have been doing that over this past week when we've been doing the $2 a day challenge. Now, for some years, the term fair trade has been used to describe products that guarantee a fair price paid to the original farmer or producer. It means that they haven't been ripped off by some multinational or had the price squeezed down so tight that they can hardly make a living. And the most common of these fair trade products are coffee and chocolate products. Just going to show you a small clip now. We have a Faith Effect DVD, and each Sunday I've been showing some clips from that. Today there will be three short clips, so this will be the first one. So there's one idea, and you'll notice in Contact, our little bulletin that comes out every Sunday, quite regularly an invitation to come and drink coffee at about 5 o'clock on a Sunday afternoon, and that's organised by a team known as Better Beans. And that's a way that we've tried to use fair trade here at church. The coffee that they use for that sort of pre-service cafe is fair trade coffee, and it raises money for mission. And, you know, if you've never come along at 5 o'clock because you come to this morning congregation, why don't you come back and have a nice cup of coffee, and you'll see that that is fair trade coffee. I can remember about this time last year, the city of Whitehorse held a fair trade fortnight, and we let them know about our Better Beans ministry. And in response, I remember they gave us a big bag of fair trade goodies and asked us to be part of the fair trade steering group for Whitehorse. Now, here's another lady talking about shopping. The reason I'm focusing on shopping and consumption is this is something we all do. And I'll show you this little clip. This is a lady in Melbourne, and she's educated herself about ethical shopping and has become more aware that her consumer choices actually do make a difference. So could we have that second clip, please? So Katie Ahmed says in that clip, "I've come to realise that what we buy makes a difference to people in other parts of the world." And as she said, it might seem like it's going to take you hours to do your shopping if you start thinking about every item on the supermarket shelves. But Andrew Dodson has very kindly made me aware of something called the Guide to Ethical Supermarket Shopping. There's a little guide like this, and if you're listening to this on the internet, this is from www.ethical.org.au. But Andrew's here this morning and has copies of these, and you can buy them for a small amount, as that's a fundraiser in itself. But in it is information about lots of supermarket products, you know, everything from the type of bread you might buy to the type of beer you might drink, to the sort of cosmetics you might use, etc. And it'll give you an idea of whether that company that makes it is reasonably ethical, very ethical, or not ethical at all. And it might save you some hard work of reading the small print on labels. Andrew says that he himself doesn't try and do it for the complete shop every time, because that would be exhausting. but he just tries to do maybe one product or one or two products each time he shops. And you still might think, well, what difference will that all make? Well, there's a very encouraging story in the Faith Effect Participants Manual which highlights the importance of both consumption and advocacy, and it's to do with chocolate. A lot of chocolate that we eat is produced in places like Ghana and the Ivory Coast, and it's made from cocoa that is harvested by child labour. And much of the child labour has been brought into that workforce through almost what we'd call modern-day slavery. And between 2008 and 2009, more than 25,000 Australians, many of whom were Christians, lobbied the chocolate manufacturers and the Australian government to get this changed and to protect children. And from late 2009, after much hard work, Cadbury, Arnott's and other manufacturers agreed to ensure that its chocolate products were fair trade. Now, I checked the Cadbury website during the week just to see what they said and if they acknowledged any of this sort of change of philosophy. And it now has a special section on fair trade in their website, and they're obviously, the way they're promoting it, they're obviously very proud of this now, very proud of their achievements of the last couple of years. And one statistic I noticed is that they say that the fair trade approach has helped 55,000 farmers in Ghana attend farmer training. So you can see that our consumer approach or our consumer response might just simply look like buying one different product, and it doesn't look like it makes a big difference, but in fact it can add up and it might change the approach of major manufacturers. So that's my first heading. My second heading today is advocacy. And in regard to advocacy, which we looked at last week a bit, we are blessed to live in a democracy. We can write letters to our politicians and let them know what we're concerned about. And if nothing else, it'll be important to keep our government, the Australian government, of whatever party over the coming years, keep them committed to the type of world that's represented by the Millennium Development Goals. For those of us who live in the seat of Deakin, in which St Alfred's is placed, it's not unhelpful that this is a very marginal seat. Our federal member must take note of what we say. So if you're in the federal seat of Deakin and these sorts of issues matter to you, let our member know. He has to take notice. Very pragmatic. If he wants to get re-elected, he needs to take note of letters that are sent to him. But even if you're in other electorates that might be more secure one way or the other, let your voice be heard. It's part of living in a democracy. And the fact that you send a letter actually has an impact. And you might find your local politician writes back to you and it might begin raising their awareness of what we think. And those of you who were here last week would have heard one of the lady politicians saying, please don't think we're in a fight against you on these issues. Try and think that we're working together and trying to work out how to make positive change in these big areas. Now, last week we saw that one of the ways that Christians in Australia have responded is through going to Canberra and speaking directly to federal politicians. And this is being organised by a group called Voices for Justice, which has been birthed out of another group called Micah Challenge. I just want to let you know, it's in contact there, that the next Voices for Justice gathering in Canberra is September 15 to 18. And as far as I can see, it's open to anybody to go. The program includes advocacy training, theological teaching, worship, prayer, lobbying, events at Parliament House, workshops, political forums, and a special youth program. And there might be some people from St Alfred's who'd like to participate in that, and I'd be very keen to hear if you would like to do that, and then keen to hear any report that you'd like to give us having gone, September 15 to 18. So that's on advocacy. My next heading is working together as church. And there are a number of ways as church that we've been responding and that we can keep responding as church rather than as individuals. Let me just highlight some. Connect 50. Two of our initiatives this year have particularly opened up avenues for service in the areas of need and helping. One is helping with dinner tonight down at the local Baptist church where we help serve dinner to people in need. And the other is the $2 a day challenge where we've challenged ourselves to live at the poverty line and to raise money for others in need. It's not too late to do that. If you missed this past week, you can still try and do that yourself. I've already mentioned Better Beans. Our ladies have recently supported the Anglicord campaign called Women Die Waiting, which helps women in Gaza with breast cancer. I know a number of you sponsor children through different groups, one of which is Compassion. For many years, we've supported the 40-hour famine, and that's coming up again in August. And in Term 3, our youth will be learning more about these issues through their Bible studies, and they'll be using a fantastic resource authored by Max Licardo called Made to Make a Difference. I know some of you serve others in need here in Whitehorse through two particular networks. One is the Eastern Emergency Relief Network, and another is called Love in the Name of Christ. And both of those are practical ways of providing help to others. I've just heard of a new community campaign called Buy Nothing New Month, which is happening in October this year. And it's what the name suggests. It's started by someone who wants to try and help people think again about consumerism and commit to a whole month of not buying anything new, or well, at least to think seriously, do I actually need that new thing? And to think maybe about secondhand things, reusing things, the old-fashioned thing of fixing things, and trying to work out whether they can get through a month without actually buying anything new, anything significantly new, that is. And you can check out the website. It's called Buy Nothing New Month. Our support of missionaries like the Walkers and the Littles are helping them make a difference in Rwanda and PNG. And God willing, soon we'll send the Jones family, who are going to focus on bringing affordable lighting to poor communities in Tanzania, and then looking at other ways of helping micro-enterprise projects take off. There are many other parts of the world that members of St Alfred's have been making a difference in and continue to help in, and I can't possibly name all of those here. I don't want to underestimate the power of prayer as well. As a church, we pray together, we pray on Sundays, we pray in our small groups, our growth groups, we pray for parts of the world, we pray for areas of need, we pray for issues of justice and all of those sorts of things. And that is something that Christians alone do, is pray to our Lord and God to ask for his mercy and for change. You might like to read a book like Generous Justice by Tim Keller. Tim's a church leader in New York, very good writer and thinker and practitioner. That's not a heavyweight book by any means. It's a great book to help just think theologically about justice and how you think biblically about these sorts of things. And then you might like to discuss that with your groups. And those of you who are in growth groups, you might like to work together as a group and try and work out a group response. So there are lots of ways we work together as church, which means your contribution doesn't feel quite so isolated or quite so small when you're part of something a little bit bigger than yourself. And that can be encouraging and can give more momentum as we work together. Now, I just want to show you the last couple of minutes of Faith Effect. This is the last sort of, this is the wrap-up from the fourth session, which is today, and you'll hear about four different people just give final little sort of statements about the Faith Effect, one of which will be about Voices for Justice in Canberra. So how might we respond to these big issues? Well, there are many ways, and I've just suggested a few today. We can use our gifts, as Tom Wright so helpfully explains, just right at the end there, and we don't all have to do the same thing. We can shop ethically and support fair trade goods. We can get involved in advocacy, either directly or by supporting some of the organisations that I've mentioned over the last 2 weeks. We can work together as church, and we can pray. Why do we do all this? Well, 1 Peter 4:11, which we heard read, gives as good an answer as any. We do this so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power for ever and ever. Amen. So we want all people to know that God is real and that God cares, and so we do what we do so that all the praise and glory will go to him. We can make a difference. Christians can make a difference. Remember the 12 disciples. I mean, they were just a bunch of ordinary guys who were empowered by the Spirit to proclaim the gospel in word and deed, and they set in motion something that in the end changed a whole empire. So empowered by that same Spirit, we too are to proclaim that same gospel in word and deed, and who knows what impact we might have. And my prayer is that you will find whatever it is that God wants you to do. Amen.